I would like to welcome you to this afternoon session. It is the final presentation session, and I'm happy to be in the chair. We are expected to be five on the panel, but I've been told that one panelist is not around, so we'll be four then. We shall begin with... Oh, first of all, let me correct my name. My name has been misspelled. I'm Bridget Saki. Bridget is spelled B-R-I-G-I-D. So the E must be I, and then Saki, S-A-C-K-E-Y. Insert a C before the K. Bridget is B-R-I-G-I-D. The E should be an I. Good. So we'll start with David Jala, followed by Mark Hill, Nico Horn, and Matthews Ojo. So ladies and gentlemen, here are your presenters.
Good afternoon to all, and as the chair said, we should have been five. Now that we have four, it means each of us can take a little more time if we have to speak longer. Let me begin by expressing my gratitude and appreciation to the organizers of this first conference on law and religion in Africa, with theme Law and Religion in Africa, Comparative Practices, Experiences, and Prospects, being hosted by the University of Ghana Faculty of Law, Legon, Ghana, January 14 and 15, 2013. Particular thanks go to the following persons, and I'm taking the liberty to do this since they cannot thank themselves. Professor Kofi Kwashegen, Dean of the Faculty of Law, Legon University, Ghana. Professor W. Cole Johan, International Center for Law and Religious Studies, Brigham Young University, Provo, Utah, United States of America. Professor Peter Kozen, Unit for the Study of Law and Religion at the Faculty of Theology, University of Stellenbosch. Professor Johan van der Ver. I hope I have it right, Professor. Center for the Study of Law and Religion, Emory University Law School, United States of America. Professor Roslyn Hackett, Department of Religious Studies, University of Tennessee, United States of America. Professor Magnus Kelleher, Center for Human Rights Law. Dean and Professor of Law James R. Sussman of the J. Rubin Clark Law School, Brigham Young University, Utah, Provo, Utah, United States of America. Professor Robert T. Smith, Managing Director of the International Center for Religion and Law at BYU. And let me also express thanks to Professor Mark Taylor, who kept us on our feet throughout the process of getting this conference organized and being a success as it is becoming a success as we go on. Mrs. Wright also worked along with Dr. Taylor in informing us of activities and letting us know where we were and what we needed to do to have this conference successful. Then I'd like to, and there are many others, but I finally like to thank Professor Martin Slater and his staff, Sharon Kwa, who are staffers at the Accra office of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I work for the church in Liberia as their attorney, have been for 20 years, and so I interact with Martin and Sharon on a regular basis, and so I wish to say thanks to them as well. And also say thanks to all of us for being here and sharing our knowledge. Let me begin by saying a little bit of what you already know, and that is something about the African continent. Africa, as we all know, is the second largest continent on planet Earth, consisting of 52 separate independent countries with a joint human population of 985,980,931 second only to Asia. The continent is divided into several regions. You have the North region, North Africa, West Africa, East Africa, South Africa, Central Africa, and the Horn of Africa. And this information can be found on Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia. Considering the size of the African continent in terms of geographic area and population, with thousands of spoken languages and dialects, as well as numerous religious belief, it is indeed extremely difficult to adequately address the topic, registration of religious groups and state control, carved from the theme Law and Religion in Africa, Comparative Practices, Experiences, and Prospects at a two-day conference. What we envisage is that this conference will provide a platform for further research and study in a comprehensive manner aimed at developing this vision in a more detailed fashion. Thus, this paper must be considered as an introduction to the topic approached from a general and broad perspective. As indicated earlier, there are countless different religions practiced in Africa, as well as denominations of some religions. Religion has been practiced in Africa for centuries. Some of these religions are Christianity, Islam, Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism, atheism, and traditional and folk religions, among others. The two dominant religions in Africa, as we all know, are Christianity and Islam. 53% of the people in Africa are Christians, while 43% are Muslim. Now, Wikipedia also provides some basic statistics on the division of these two groups and the third group, which they refer to as traditional religion and others in terms of percentages. What I have done is to highlight certain countries that are dominated by Christianity, and I use as my benchmark 80 and above. And then Islam, similarly, countries that are dominated by Islam. Then I looked at the third category, traditional religion and others. So let's just run down the list thoroughly of those countries, and it's a select group. I did not take all. For instance, in the Central African Republic, 80.3% of the inhabitants are Christians or believed to be Christians. The Democratic Republic of Congo, 95.6% are Christians. The Republic of Congo, 90.7% are Christians. Equatorial Guinea, 93% are Christians. Sao Tome and Principe, 97% are Christians. Rwanda, 93.6% are Christians. Seychelles, 93.1% are Christians. Lesotho, 90% are Christians. Namibia, 90% are Christians. Swaziland, 90% are Christians. Cote d'Ivoire or the Ivory Coast, 99% are Christians. Then we go to the Islamic group and we selected some countries with high percentages. The first that we are considering is Comoros. The Comoros Island, 98% are Islamic or Muslims. Tanzania, 35% are Muslims, with 30% Christians and 35% other religions. In Djibouti, 94% are Muslims. In Somalia, the report says 100% are Muslims. In Algeria, 99% are Muslim. In Egypt, 90% are Muslim. In Libya, 97% are Muslims. In Morocco, 98.7% are Muslims. And in Arab Democratic Republic, 100% are Muslims. Sudan, we have 97. Tunisia, 98. Gambia, 90%. Mali, 90%. Mauritania, 100%. Niger, 90%. And the last that I highlighted is Senegal with 94%. Then let's look at the other religions and see which countries they have a high percentage representation. Tanzania, for instance, which I mentioned earlier, has 35% other religions and traditional religion, with Muslim 35 and Christians 30. Then you have Benin. Benin had 32.8% traditional religions and others, with 24.4% Muslims and 42.8% Christians. I made a mistake when I mentioned Cote d'Ivoire, as it should have been Cape Verde. Cape Verde has 99%. Cote d'Ivoire now is in the category with mixed religion. So please correct that if you're taking notes. Cote d'Ivoire has 25.0% traditional and others, 38.6% Muslims, and 32.6% Christians. Then you have Guinea-Bissau with 40% traditional and others, 50% Muslims, 10% Christians. And finally, the country that I looked at is Togo with 38% traditional and other religions. Now, in addition to religions that are practiced universally, almost all ethnic groups in all African nations have their own local religions or religious beliefs. This conglomeration of religions and religious beliefs impose extreme difficulty on those nations that might be inclined to regulate religion by way of enacting laws and attempting to enforce these laws. Despite the difficulty posed, some nations have attempted to control religious activities through a quasi-registration process by offering certain control benefits to all religious groups that complied with this voluntary process. Permit me to speak in more specific terms about Liberia, my country. Liberia, the first independent republic in Africa. Ethiopia is the first independent nation in Africa, but it was an empire, and Liberia was a republic, so we are the first independent republic in Africa, founded in 1822 by ex-slaves from the United States of America who had been emancipated, declared its independence in 1847 with the establishment of a government patterned after that of the United States of America with three branches, legislative, executive, and judicial. One significant difference between the United States government and the Liberian government is that the United States government is a federal state, federal nation. Liberia is a unitary state. I might mention here that the Declaration of Independence of Liberia was signed in a church, the Providence Baptist Church, which had now become a national shrine. So the country had its origin in the church. The constitution adopted at independence in 1847 provides at Article 1, Declaration of Rights, and I quote, "We the people of the Commonwealth of Liberia in Africa acknowledge with devout gratitude the goodness of God in granting to us the blessing of the Christian religion and political, religious, and civil liberty, do in order to secure these blessings for ourselves and our posterity, and to establish justice, ensure domestic peace, and promote the general welfare, hereby solemnly associate and constitute ourselves a free, sovereign, and independent state by the name of the Republic of Liberia, and do ordain and establish this constitution for the governance of sin." Section 3 of Article 1 of that constitution, that is the 1847 constitution, provides further, I quote, "All men have a natural and unalienable right to worship God according to the dictate of our consciences without obstruction or molestation from others. All persons demeaning themselves peacefully and not obstructing others in their religious worship are entitled to the protection of law in the free exercise of their own religion. And no sect of Christians shall have exclusive privileges or preferences over any other sect, but all shall be alike tolerated, and no religious test whatever shall be required as a qualification for civil office or the exercise of any civil right," unquote. Now, when you try to digest this provision of the 1847 Constitution, it gives the impression that any religion was welcome, but they continuously talk about the Christian religion. Clearly, the provision of the 1847 Constitution quoted above expressly defined Liberia at its inception as a Christian state. For a long time, Liberia was regarded as a state, quote, "founded on Christian principles," unquote, despite the fact that people inhabiting what became known as Liberia were composed of Islamists and animists prior to the arrival of the pioneers, as those who came from the States were referred to, and in latter days were referred to as Americo-Liberians, in other words, American Liberians. Non-Christians, in some instances, were even referred to as heathens or pagans. A new Liberian constitution was adopted on January 6, 1986, following a military coup which took place in 1980. This coup overthrew the government of President William Richard Talbot, an American Liberian, or descendant of a man of the Pawnee. Let me run. I should take 5 minutes off. President, and it's good to put this thing in context so that people can understand. If I just read what I have, President Talbot succeeded President William V. Stockman, himself an American Liberian, in 1971. When President Tubman died in office and President Talbot was his vice president, President Talbot then appointed a vice president who died in office, and he had the choice of appointing another vice president. But President Talbot was president of the Liberian Baptist Missionary and Educational Convention, which is the equivalent of the bishop of the Baptist Church. So he selected a man called Benny D. Warner. Benny D. Warner was the bishop of the Methodist Church, the church created by John Wesley, the Methodist Church. So then, there was a big uproar that where is the separation of church and state? You have the Baptist bishop and the Methodist bishop down, both occupying the two top positions in the government. The new Liberian constitution, as I said, came into being in January 6, 1986, following the military coup. The new constitution substantially embodied the fundamental rights enshrined in the 1847 constitution. One significant difference, however, which relates to religion, can be found in Article 14 and provides, all persons shall be entitled to freedom of movement, blah, blah, blah. And it goes on to say that it talks about all persons who, in the practice of the religion, the same thing, they will have the freedom to do it. And then it went on to say, and no religious test shall be required for any civil, and they added the word, or military office. Prior to this, in the 6th Constitution, the army was dominated by Christians or other religion. There, Muslims did not join the army. So this time they said no test will be given for joining the army which has a bearing on religion. And so now we have a new army with Christians, Muslims, and presumably non-believers or believers in, sorry, where is she? Believers in African religion. With the principle of separation of state and religion and state, the Republic shall establish, and this is another significant point, the Republic shall establish no state religion. This is in the Constitution. There are approximately 12% of the population. Okay, I'm concluding. I'll just jump to the conclusion. There are approximately 12% from one source or 20% from other sources, Islamic or Muslims in Liberia, 48% Christians, and the rest are of other religions. Now let me, please permit me to just, because this is the main topic I'm supposed to speak on. And it's just one paragraph. Registration requirement, practices, and experiences. Just one paragraph, and I'll read it very fast. I will not give it as a classroom lecture, as I was trying to do, if I would just read it. Under the Association's Law of Liberia, Title 5, Liberian Code of Law Revised, 1976, Part 2, Not-for-Profit Corporation, a religious entity may elect to incorporate, and this is accomplished in two ways. By a grant of a charter, a special act of the legislature, or B, filing articles of incorporation for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs or the Liberian Corporate Registry, which was recently established. That's chapter 20, section 20.3 and 21.1 of the association law. Where a religious entity incorporates, it is required to file its incorporation document with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs or the Liberian Corporate Registry upon payment of a one-time nominal fee. Thereafter, it is required that a copy of the document be registered with the Ministry of Planning and Economic Affairs. This registration requirement serves two purposes. One, to enable the Ministry of Planning and Economic Affairs compile accurate statistical document, and B, to ensure that association or organization are operating legally. This filing enables the entity, advantages. This filing enables the entity to benefit from certain governmental opportunities, especially where the entity decides to take advantage of privileges provided by the government to religious bodies, such as duty exemption or on local purchases and goods imported directly by the entity and other tax exemptions. There are also subsidies that are given to religious schools that register with the government. Religious schools register with the government, they grant you subsidy. They also, government also provides direct assistance to churches and mosques and Muslims by assisting the pilgrims go to Mecca, or the Christians, if they're having a conference, they make donation to the conference. And I'm saying all this to show how we wrap up. Okay. Prospects. Undoubtedly, there are some countries in Africa that make registration compulsory. And now what I'm saying in Liberia is not compulsory, but it is kind of persuasive, encouraging to register, because you got all these benefits that you can derive. Some countries in Africa do compulsory registration, as was mentioned today by Professor Charles M. Funda from Pretoria, University of Pretoria. He said in Cameroon, it is compulsory that all religious entities register. Now, finally, let me just conclude by saying thanks very much for inviting me to this conference. And and I hope that the discussion which we have begun will not end here, but that it will continue over the months, year and years ahead, and even decades, as the problem in Africa relating to religion and state are astronomical. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, David Jala.